Bible term to Deuteronomy chapter number 4. You got me where I needed to be. Amen. Amen. Book of Deuteronomy there in the Old Testament, chapter number 4. Brother Woodard, appreciate you leading us in all those special songs. And appreciate Elizabeth and Houston playing those special songs. When Miss Simpson, when you said page 113, I thought of glory to his name. That's what it is in the church hymnal. That's 113. And then Brother Troy asked for 113. Well, for glory to his name, 113, whatever it is in that new NIV book we got there. But the that's not an NIV in case anybody's listening out there. Amen. That song is a blessing in my heart. Glory to his name. And then when we sang that last one, I'm saved by the blood. It just covers most all what I'm going to deal with tonight. So I'll be real quick. And I was thinking about Brother Steve talking about churches having concerts. We just had a concert tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. And it didn't cost you anything, just contributed to it. Amen. Just sang in it. And that was a blessing. Amen. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 1. I want to read down through verse number 9. And then if you'll hold your place there, we're going to look through this chapter at some different things. I don't think I'll be long, just thoughts I got to throw out to you that I hope might be a blessing. Deuteronomy 4, verse number 1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor. For all the men that followed Baal-peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. I'm going to stop there, though that's not a period. That's where I want to end my thought. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Bell, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, thank you and praise you again, Lord, for the day. Thank you, Lord, for the good and the worship that we have and yes. This morning, or this evening, and testimony. Pray and ask that you will help Brother Shepherd as he brings the thoughts
please
to
help
his
us,
heart.
Lord.
Pray that you'll just use it to speak to our hearts tonight. We ask and pray these things in Christ's name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I do appreciate all the songs, as I said, and then the prayer as well. I want to think on those words in verse number 9. He says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. Here's the three words, lest thou forget. As humans, we're prone to forget. For example, Miss Stephanie asking about that song. Second song we sang this morning, that was less than 12 hours ago. We ought to be able to remember real quick, but I didn't remember. I was drawing a blank. And apparently a lot of us was drawing a blank. Amen. We are prone to forget. Well, in this text that we're reading, Deuteronomy chapter 4, of course you know Deuteronomy is a rehearsal of the law. It's the law given again the second time after Moses got it down from Mount Sinai. And Moses spoke it to the people, gave the people the law. Then now they've wandered their 40 years in the wilderness and they're coming back to get ready to enter into the land. And the book of Deuteronomy is Moses rehearsing the law to them again, going back over it the second time, reminding them
of all the things that God has said and the things that they need to do. And he's telling them, you're getting ready to go into a good land. You're getting ready to enjoy the blessings of God. And you need to be careful that you don't forget. There's some things we need to remember. Amen. And I want to talk about those things if I can. And primarily, my thought is this, is really with dads teaching their sons, lest we forget. Because that's how he ended that up, verse number 9. That's why I ended where I did. That you teach it to your sons, thy sons, and thy sons' sons. Three things, real quickly and just simple, that we need to remind our children and remind ourselves of. Number one, we need to remind them of the big God that we serve. Amen. We're not bound down to a little statue. We can't carry our God. Our God carries us. Amen. Amen. We don't make a God. Our God made us. Amen. We've got a big God, and it's here in our text. Look at verse number 7. In verse number 7, the Bible says, "For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for?" Our God's big enough to answer prayer, is what he's talking about. Amen. These little idols and statues that people make, and it's coming more and more even prominent in our country. You see, you pass by people's yards, they got a little statue out front that's some saint or some person that they pray to. Maybe it's in the form of an angel. We don't bow down to people nor to angels. We bow to the Lord. Amen. But those angels or those little statues cannot even hear our request, let alone answer our request. But we've got a big God that's big enough to hear us when we call. Look at verse number 8. "And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all the law which I set before you this day?" We've got a big God that has the truth. Amen. Look at verse number 35 of the chapter. Chapter 4, verse 35. "Unto thee it was showed that thou mightest know that the Lord, He is God. There is none beside Him." Look at verse number 39. "Know therefore this day and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, He is God in heaven above." Amen. "And upon the earth beneath, there is none else." We serve a great big God. Amen. Now, I don't particularly like the term people started using back in the 80s, "Our God is an awesome God." They started singing songs like that. Our God is awesome, but the word "awesome" has been so misused that, just to be honest with you, it sort of grates on me the way that it is used. When I think of our God, and by the way, that's not a King James Bible word. Don't talk about our awesome God. It talks about our mighty God. Amen. He's not just mighty. He's almighty. He has all power in heaven and earth. And so we've got a great big God, and we need to remind our children of that. And we need to remind ourselves of it. When we come through storms, we go through storms and trials and troubles in our life, remind ourselves we've got a great big God. Amen. I've probably said this before, but when I was pastor in North Carolina, when I was working in the glass factory, there was a black man that was a preacher, good godly man. He's passed away now. Preacher Rowe. Everybody called him that. At work even. Preacher Rowe. His last name, R-O-W-E. And he preached revivals a lot. I had him preach a revival for us. And Preacher Rowe, I'd talk to him at work sometimes. And we'd talk about revival. Brother Steve, he and I talk about some of the things you and I talk about. Preacher Rowe said on Friday night they'd want his choir to come sing. And I'm telling you, that the big choir of them black folk, they just had it. They'd get to singing, they'd get to swaying backwards and forwards with one another, and they had the harmony and all that, and people, man, they'd run and shout and rejoice. Here's what Preacher Rowe said. Preacher Rowe said, "The average church I go to for revival," he said, "Friday night," he said, "they want to be humdrum Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, hit and miss, but they all want to come in Friday night, hear my choir sing, and everybody shout." He said, "That's their idea of revival." But he said, "When I see the way their children are doing, I don't see much to shout about." He said, "Look to me like they ought to be on the altar praying instead of out there shouting, amen." Well, when I say that, sometimes our burdens do get us, and they ought to get us to the altar. But our God can hear us when we're at the altar. Amen. And yet, He deserves our praise. Here's what Preacher Rowe said, and I run that rabbit to get to this. Preacher Rowe said this. He said, "Your problem is in direct perspective as to your God." He said, "If you've got a big God, all you've got is little problems." But he said, "If you've got a little God, you got some big problems. Amen. That's right too, ain't it? I'm glad we're serving a big God. We need to remind our children of it. Amen. Then we need to remind them not only about the big God that we serve, but the book of God that we've got. Amen. The Word of God. It's all over in this scripture that I read to you. Look at verse number 1 again in chapter 4, verse number 1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you. He's talking about the Word of God that he had penned down, that God gave him to teach them. For to do them that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Look at verse number 2. Ye shall not add the word unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it. Most of these new versions, all these new verses, leave words out. Add words in, leave words out. Thousands of words, some of them do. Amen. And I don't have the statistics in front of me, but that doesn't matter. The point is, God said don't take one word out. God said don't add no words. Amen. Leave the Word of God alone. Don't mess with the Word of God. We ought to teach our children to reverence the Bible. Amen. I don't like putting other books on top of my Bible. I like my Bible on top because the Bible ought to be the top book. Amen. I don't like the idea of people misusing, throwing their Bible around or laying it up in the window of the car, letting the sun wrinkle it up. And I think we ought to honor our Bible. I realize this is a book. It is paper and ink book, but it's what it represents. This book is the Word of God. Amen. I don't need a new translation. I've got what I need right here. And I believe that. And we ought to teach that and instruct our children with that, that we have the book of God. And the book of God is to be honored. It's above anything they read in the colleges. Amen. It's above anything the scientists might say. It's above any new discovery they might discover. This book is the right book. Amen. We need to teach them about that. The book of God. Look at verse number 8. And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? America was a great nation when her laws were based on the Word of God. Now we've got lawmakers that make laws every day. They add new restrictions every day, all this new stuff all the time changing and getting away from the law of God. All of a sudden, they don't want to hear the law of God. Listen, there's really only one lawmaker. Amen. God's one makes the laws, and we need to remind them of that. Amen. When we're talking about the Word of God and describing the Word of God to our children, three things we need to describe to them and build up to them. First of all, tell them about the author. Tell them this book wasn't written by men. This book was written by God. Amen. You know, Brother Walker was talking about those young men in Bible college. It was laughing about the King James Bible. Said the reason the book of James was in there was because King James wanted a book with his name on it. And he went back to the Geneva Bible, which was like 100 and some years. Wycliffe Bible, which was like 100 and some years before the King James Bible. He had a book of James before James was born. That James. Because of the difference. They come up with all kinds of crazy things. I remember when I was in college, and it wasn't a Bible college, just secular college, but my roommate, he questioned if there's even a God. He questioned the Bible and all that. And he said that he had heard somewhere that King James and Shakespeare were friends. And he went through that, and Brother Walker mentions that. There's somewhere in the Bible that the word shakes in there, and then a little bit later the word spear. And they said, so there you go, Shakespeare influenced the Bible. Well, he went back to the Wycliffe Bible. It's the same way. Word shakes in that one verse. The word spears in another verse. Way before Shakespeare was ever born. The author. Have you ever wondered, you know, for example, everybody in here probably, raise your hand if you've ever heard of the play or the story of Hamlet. Raise your hand. Hamlet. Alright? Does anybody here know who wrote that? Everybody in here knows who wrote it. Shakespeare wrote it. Do they ever question that? They never question it. They never question if Shakespeare really wrote the play Hamlet. But they always question who wrote this book. All kinds of questions. You know why? Because it don't bother them that Shakespeare wrote Hamlet. It bothers them that God wrote this book, because if God wrote this book, we're responsible for what's in it. And we are. Amen. And we need to remind our children about the author of this book. We need to remind our children about the authority of this book. This book is binding. Amen. This book is binding. What this book says is true and righteous altogether. Amen. It is right and it is binding. I read a headline yesterday where that the Pope Francis, and that's sort of a funny idea to have a name like that, but I'll leave that alone. but Pope Francis, and he came out and said that most marriages in our world today are invalid. That's what he said. Most marriages in our world today are invalid. Somebody wrote and said, all popes are invalid. I said, amen, that's right. All popes, 100% of the popes are invalid. Amen. They don't have any authority just because the quote, the church, the mother church says, and we got about, no. This book is the authority. This book is the authority. I'm not the authority. You're not the authority. What we wish is not the authority. This book is the authority. Amen. Brother Crawford was saying last night talking about his son and the situation there, and how that he says he still agrees with salvation like we believe. He still agrees with some of the things like we believe, but the standards, the things he don't want to do, he don't agree with anymore. And the reason for that is, and it's not just him, it's the way it is in the world today, it's because they want to reject the authority. They want to be the authority to pick and choose what they have. Amen. What they like. Well, need to remind them of the book of God, remind them of the author, remind them of the authority, and number three, remind them of the ability of that book. That book has the power to bring you to Christ. Amen. Amen. Paul told Timothy, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. How do you get saved? You get saved by faith. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That book has the ability to change people's lives. Amen. And then number three, we not only remind them of the big God we serve, teach them about the book of God, but we need to tell them something about the blood of grace. Verse number 23, I want to show you verse 23 of this same chapter 4, verse 23. He says, take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget, look at this phrase, the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. Moses reminded them about a covenant they had made with God. Our covenant is the new covenant. The new covenant which is in his blood. That's what the Bible talks about. Amen. The blood of Jesus gives us covenant with God. You say, preacher, can you show me that? I'll be glad to. Look in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. What right? We sang that song. What right have we got to get into heaven? What is our plea? We only have one. That's the fact that Jesus died for us. Amen. We're trusting him. John 3 and verse number 16. I know it's familiar, but I want to show you. John 3, 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, that's the covenant, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Amen. Verse number 17. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him, here's your covenant now. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Amen. You say, preacher, what's the covenant? The covenant is, if you don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not going to go to heaven. Well, why? But I'm a good man. If you haven't believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've not been saved by his blood, washed in his blood, made a new creature, we sang the song, saved by the blood of the crucified one. If you've not been that, you don't have a right to heaven. I don't care how good you think you are. Amen. Doesn't matter how long you've gone to church. Doesn't matter how many prayers you prayed. It doesn't matter what you've done. If you've never bowed your knee to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, been convicted by the Holy Ghost, converted, made a new creature in Christ Jesus, you don't have the right to heaven. Amen. Amen. We need to remind them of the blood covenant. It's not just do's and don'ts at the house of God. It's not just, well, if you're faithful to Sunday school, you'll go to heaven. Or if you all you men always wear pants and ladies always wear dresses and you'll go to heaven. No, that's not the scripture. Right. It's not do's and don'ts. Amen. I don't do what I do to go to heaven. I do what I do because I am going to heaven. Amen. Saved by the grace of God, I want to please the Lord and bring glory and honor to him. Turn to Ephesians chapter number 1. I'll show you a verse that I could read you. Romans chapter 10, we know that real well when it goes down through there, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But look at verse number 7 of Ephesians chapter number 1. By the way, this verse has been corrupted in all these new translations. Verse number 7, in whom we have redemption. These next four words are left out of most of these other, or the next three words are left out of most of these other translations. In whom we have redemption? Through His blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Turn on over to Colossians chapter number 1 and verse 14. Same thing again. This one's been corrupted in these modern versions. Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing, friend. Nothing but the blood.
Right.
Amen. Don't ever let our children forget how big our God is. This book of God we've got. And it takes the blood for them to get to heaven. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, I thank You for the privilege of being in the house of God this evening. I thank You for reminding us these simple truths. But help us, Lord, not forget to pass them down to our sons and our sons' sons. Help us to rehearse them, refresh them in their mind. Remind them again and again and again that their only hope of heaven is the blood of Jesus Christ. That the only authority that we have in our life is the Word of God. That the only one that can hear our prayers, save our soul, meet our needs is the big God. That He is the true God of glory. Help us not forget it. Lord, I pray deal with some soul. Do the work You want to see done. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you need to come and pray, I want to give you that opportunity to do that while we sing.